Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Also joining the party, my man Mitch Titchler. He is of the Washington Football Talk Pod, also NBC Sports Washington. Mitch, thank you so much for joining us, and happy Labor Day to you.
Happy Labor Day to you. I'm happy to be working, as I'm sure you are too.
Absolutely. You know what? We are so close to the start of the NFL season, and I've been asking this question to folks about how excited they are about it on a scale 1 to 10. 10 being your usual level of fall excitement when the leaves start falling and you know football's around the corner. I give myself about a 6 because I'm a little bit cautious about finishing the season because of the virus potential ramifications, as we've seen with the other sports. And oh yeah, also our team won 3 games last year and is owned by Dan Snyder. Where are you at right now?
I'm on the other side of you. I'm at about a 37. I'm so excited to have NFL back, to have football back. It's been a long, long few months of waiting for sports to come back, and you know, hockey and basketball have gone and done their thing the way they're doing it, but to have football in NFL stadiums on Sunday and Thursday and Monday is going to be spectacular. I am so excited for it.
Now, where do you think the team, where do you think their mindset is with everything that's swirling around it off of the field and, you know, these missiles that keep dropping on the owner's head?
As far as the team goes, I mean, for the players, I think they're excited to get back to football so that there's, you know, the game to talk about, that we're not dealing with all the other shenanigans that are happening around the team. As for the team, I feel like they kind of feel the same way. I mean, all this stuff has been highlighted by the fact that, you know, it's been a pretty slow, you know, sports world the past few months. And once the NFL gets going and the games start playing, mattering, and wins and losses are tallying up, there's going to be a lot more concentration on what's happening on the field. And hopefully everyone's able to put the mess from the past behind them.
Now, there's been a lot of positivity about the defense in particular, of course, with the addition of Chase Young. We've seen the videos that have popped up. I think Adrian Peterson got cut just because he got trucked by Chase Young and it went viral, as far as I'm concerned. But on the other side of the football, the offense, how are they going to score points, Mitch?
Terry McLaurin's got to be the stud that we all think he is. I mean, he had a great rookie year last year, and you need him to continue and be that and then some. And it's going to be the guy who's going to be throwing the ball. You know, you got to hope that Dwayne Haskins, he's done all the right things in the offseason. He lost the weight. He's got control of the offense. He's becoming more of a leader. And we've seen him through training camp, you know, start working through his processes correctly, making the correct reads for the most part, delivering the ball on time to the receivers. And it's going to be about him doing it in the games. And Dwayne seems like much more of a gamer than he is a guy who, you know, excels in practice. So, you know, on Sunday against Philly, I'm excited to see if all the offseason work has paid off and he's going to be the quarterback that we think he can be.
Considering all, you know, the tumultuous tenure that he's had up to this point, through no fault of his own, just, you know, things going on around him as far as coaching changes and the like, how much rope do you think he enters with this season?
I think he's got 16 games worth of rope. I think this year is all about what can Dwayne Haskins do, and it's for this coaching staff to get a feel for whether he's going to be your quarterback in the future. So for me, he should have as much rope as it takes to find out who he is and what he has. And if through 3 weeks he's struggling, you got to keep playing him. He needs every rep he can get and every opportunity to be out there and show who he is as an NFL quarterback.
How surprised were you by the team cutting Adrian Peterson, especially on the wings of losing Geis, who was going to be the number one guy? And where do you think that leaves us at the running back position?
Yeah, I mean, anyone who tells you they weren't surprised by Adrian Peterson is lying to themselves. I mean, if you think about the general direction of the team, maybe it makes sense to you know, give these young guys all the reps that they can get. But Adrian Peterson was the one, you know, steady part of that backfield. You kind of knew what you were going to get from him. So it was shocking to me that he got cut. I mean, it's a brand new offense, and Scott Turner has these exotic looks, and a lot of times running backs are lining up in wide receiver positions and, you know, trying to move out in pass patterns. And so it makes more sense to have guys like J.D. McKissic and Antonio Gibson, you know, get more reps. But you kind of feel like you need that guy on third and short and on goal line situations who, you know, is going to be able to put his head down and run right through the line. And that's not even to mention all of the culture building that Ron Rivera is trying to do right now. And he took time out during training camp, you know, to point directly at Adrian Peterson and Thomas Davis and talk about, these are the guys who have been there and done it before. You all need to learn from them. So I was shocked that they got rid of him, but certainly in the realm of this offense, you can see a situation where Antonio Gibson and maybe to a little bit lesser extent, J.D. McKissic are able to thrive.
Now, you mentioned Thomas Davis. I checked out the latest edition of Mic'd Up. Can you tell us about his special connection with Doug Williams?
Yeah, so I never knew anything about this, and it was a great little bit during the Mic'd Up. The guys were talking about their college decision days, and Thomas Davis talked about he had two hats on the table for where he was going to go to college, and one was Georgia and the other was Grambling, where Doug Williams was at the time as the head coach. And it was just funny as he talked about it, because those schools are so diametrically different. You know, you have big time D1, and then you have, you know, Grambling, who's a little bit, you know, lower of a school, but Thomas Davis talked about those were his two favorite schools. Those were the two best schools that offered to him, and I can't blame him for deciding to go to Georgia. But it was funny, you know, how small a world it is that, you know, whatever it is, 20 years later now, it's all come full circle, and he and Doug are working together again.
That is awesome. I think I broke a record for the most questions before getting to Chase Young. So now that I have that record, I can lean on over to our exciting rookie. If you finish this question, Chase Young could be the most exciting defensive player we've had since
Darryl Green. I think he's there are players that stand out on the football field before they even take a snap. Just when they walk out on the field, the look, the aura around them is what it is. And Chase Young is one of those guys. You know, he's bigger than everybody. He's faster than everybody. He's strong as an ox. It's pretty incredible watching him in practice, especially, you know, when he gets to the second team guys. He just absolutely blows those guys up like we don't see anybody else do. And that's such a good sign for, you know, for a guy who we have super high expectations for. So I'm excited to see what he's going to be able to do. And I think he's going to make a run at that rookie defensive player of the year.
Awesome. Now, big picture, if you were to set my expectation level, okay, what are we looking at right now? What can I walk away from feeling like we had a successful season?
For Chase Young or for the team?
Sorry, for the team.
Oh, I mean, everyone wants to put a win total on it. And you know, for me, if they double their win total, I think that's obviously a successful season. But I think more so just I think that we're going to be able to step away from this year and kind of have a feel for how Ron Rivera wants to run this team. And, you know, I think cutting Adrian Peterson was, you know, kind of a big sign about how in charge Ron is. You know, last year, Jay Gruden obviously didn't want Adrian Peterson on the team. He, you know, made him inactive week one as a, you know, commentary about it. But, you know, there were other egos that were making, you know, player decisions. And now you're seeing that you have the big man in charge. So for me, if you're going to put a win total on it, I think it's, you know, I think they got to get to six. But more so, it's going to be about watching the adult decisions that regular NFL teams make on a week-to-week, you know, season-to-season basis. And understanding that, you know, hopefully the team has moved away from, you know, a ego-driven roster and is working on building, you know, not proving that every move that they've made is correct, but building towards, you know, being a a winning franchise, a team that can make the playoffs in multiple seasons and have winning records and, you know, taking all those steps.
I love it. Mitch Tisler, where can the people see you next? Where can the people find you?
Instagram and Twitter at Mitch_Tischler. And listen to the Washington Football Talk pod, anywhere you get your good podcasts from.
Very cool. Thank you very much, Mitch, for joining us. You can go back to no labor.
I appreciate it.
All right. Enjoy yourself. All right.
Have a good one.
You guys heard all the good things he had to say. Are you feeling as positive as Mitch was? He gave me a 37. That was the highest number that we've gotten so far. I think the next highest number was like 12. Again, this is a scale from 1 to 10. How excited are you for this NFL season? Let me know. 800-636-1067. Are we a basketball town or a football town? Let me know. 800-636-1067. And why do we as fans tend to side with ownership over the players? Let me know. 800-636-1067. Reese Waters, 106.7 The Fan. Oh, man. It's been a really fantastic day so far. I want to thank all the guests I've had. Miss Tischler, Alex Chappell, Wes Hall, and Chase Hughes. They've been rocking with me up to this point. Now it's me and you. Hit me up, 800-636-1067. I appreciate all of it. I opened up the show, it being Labor Day, asking one of the things that I always come back to is why we as fans, when it comes to a dispute between players and owners, tend to side with the owners, which is contrary to how we and generally process these things off the field, out of the arena. You can weigh in on that. I also talked a little DC culture, a little John Thompson. I said I thought we were a basketball town instead of a football town. You can weigh in on that. How excited are you about this NFL season? On a scale of 1 to 10, I give myself about a 6. You can weigh in on that. And the other thing that we've been talking about a lot is the place that sports has in our larger culture and our larger landscape. And you see it with the NBA playoffs. I mean, you can't miss it with the NBA playoffs with the Black Lives Matter on the court and the, you know, the messages on the backs of the jerseys. You can't miss it. And you see it in the WNBA. And one of the points that I've made is how significant it is when you see other leagues that are not predominantly black, leagues where the perception of the fan base is that it is not predominantly black. When you see them join in solidarity and listening to the messages that that are being conveyed by their colleagues in sports. So I talked about how significant it was when Major League Baseball, when the Mets and the Marlins had their when they walked off the field and left the Black Lives Matter t-shirt at home plate, how significant that was. When you saw it in MLS when games weren't played, you even saw it in the NHL when games weren't played, and how significant it was in NASCAR with how they've handled everything surrounding Bubba Wallace. So to that end, you know, one of the questions I've always had was, when it comes to these issues of racial injustice, why it seems to solely be the responsibility of the black athletes to speak up about this? Why, if this is something that's so weighing on the running back or the wide receiver, why doesn't the offensive lineman or the tight end feel some level of sensitivity to it? These are guys that are in the locker room with these guys. These are guys who allegedly have a relationship with these guys. Why? And not just that they're teammates, but just as human beings. Like, why do we not have the level of empathy as human beings to want to ask white players how they feel about this, or to expect them to have a level of understanding and sensitivity to these issues? So one of the things that we've seen happen over the last couple of months off of the field of play is a lot more diversity in these protests that you see on the streets. And you've seen it on the field of play as well. And we're also seeing it in the booths. One of the things that really moved me and touched me was the words by Kirk Herbstreit on College Game Day this weekend. If you haven't gotten a chance to hear it, here it is.
I also think that if you're a white player in these locker rooms, I think it's incumbent upon you to really help with the change. I saw Dylan Bowles there from Stanford involved. And I think, you know, Trevor Lawrence at Clemson has been involved. I think it's one thing to have rallies. It's one thing to skip a practice because of social injustice. It's one thing for the NBA and the NFL to miss games, to make a statement. Those things are great. But my question is, what's next? What does that lead to? You go back to practice the next day. What will lead to change? And I really think, I was talking to David Shaw, the head coach at Stanford, who really, he and I had a great talk. I love listening to his wisdom and his thoughts. And he shared a quote to me and reminded me from Benjamin Franklin. He said, "Justice will be served. Justice will not be served until those who are unaffected are as outraged as those who are." And I think that's what I mean when I think the black community is hurting. If you've listened and the word empathy and compassion over these last 4 months, how do you listen to these stories and not feel pain and not want to help? You know what I mean? It's like the wearing a hoodie and putting your hands at 10 and 2. Oh God, I better look out because I'm wearing Nike gear. Like what? What are we talking about? And so you can't relate to that if you're white, but you can listen and you can try to help because this is not okay. It's just not.
It's not.
And we got to do better, man. We got to like lock arm in arm and be together in a football locker room. That stuff is gone. Those barriers are gone. And we got to do better.
It's one of the things and why sports can be such a leader in this area. It's happened throughout history, dating back to Jesse Owens and Jackie Robinson and Muhammad Ali and the number of changes that have been instituted and awareness brought to because of sports. And there's a lot of good going on in college football. I know that even the Navy players have met with police departments. There is hope. But the number one thing we all have to do is make sure our hearts are tender and open.
By the way, that was Reese Davis who spoke up after Kirk Herbstreit. And, you know, he's talking about empathy. If you watch that clip, there's several analysts that are in boxes on screen. And Maria Taylor, another analyst and reporter at ESPN and host, she breaks down just hearing Kirk Herbstreit's emotion. And that's what I'm talking about by empathy. You know, that's what I'm talking about by empathy. And to echo Reese Davis's comments about approaching things with a tender heart, I think that is significantly important when it comes to these kinds of issues. And as a sports fan, it has been really difficult to process the lack of support that a lot of these issues have attracted and how slow it was in coming. And as a black fan of really most of the sports, I mean, I pretty much watch all of the sports. I mean, I watch, I'm a big NBA, NFL, college football. I'm a big MMA guy, Major League Baseball, watch some hockey. Like I watch it till it goes off. As a fan of all of these things, it's been very difficult to have, to turn a blind eye to the fact that these issues are so pressing on our society and pressing on so many members of our society, and people are speaking out, but not getting the support that I feel like this issue deserves and warrants. And it's been heartening to see this this start to lessen over time. And it's been heartening to see this become something that's become much more widespread, because off of the field of play, out of the arena, in order for us to move forward, these issues have to be depoliticized. It has to become an issue of human rights and not an issue of, well, you know, I'm on this team, so I have to feel this way. No, if you're on our human team, you should have a level of concern that some of your fellow humans feel this way. And I actually liken it to, if you have a friend, or a neighbor or a family member, a loved one who was in some sort of pain or in some sort of distress, you may not know what that pain feels like. You may not be able to internalize what that feels like. You may not even understand as they're explaining it to you. But if you care about that person, you do want to let that person know that you're listening, and you want to try and understand and to do what you can do and say what you can say in order to give them some relief, because you want them to know that you care. And that's been the thing that's been missing for so long, I feel like, as I look across the sports landscape. And it's been something that I've just kind of had to dismiss and turn a blind eye to for a very long time. It's just now that more folks are speaking out that I realized how much I've had to just ignore that these concerns were just being forgotten about, and allowed to just, you know, lie by the wayside. And it really has been heartening to see that change. And it's been heartening to see that change across all different aspects of this business. And my hope is that as that changes in this business, it changes outside as well. It's already started to change outside when you look at the protests. But when it comes to making this an issue of empathy and not an issue of partisanship, in that way, I feel like we are much further ahead in sports than we are outside. So I commend Kurt Herbstreit for showing that level of compassion and for showing that level of empathy. We also saw from FS1's Nick Wright. We may be able to get to that clip as well. But I, of course, want to hear from you guys on any and everything that I talk about. And this is not exempt from that. 800-636-1067. Paulie from Norfolk, I'm coming at you next. Reese Waters, 106.7 The Fan. You know, we opened up talking about basketball in this area. It feels like it's been that long since we had a contender. It really does. But that can change. Things can change. I'm feeling positive. Chase Hughes and Wes Hall have me feeling, and don't forget Troy Halliburton too, because he's always real positive on Tommy Shepard. They got me feeling good about the state of the Wizards right now. So I feel like things can change. All right. Last segment, I played the cut from Kirk Herbstreit, A College Game Day. I told you my feelings on it. You can weigh in on that. Anything else that we've talked about up to this point. As I promised, my man Paulie from Norfolk, happy Labor Day to you, my friend. What's on your mind?
Same to you, boss. How you doing this afternoon?
I'm good. I'm hanging in. I'm working.
Hey, man. Hey, aren't we all?
Yep.
Hey, but you asked a question. Are we excited for the season? I'm super excited for the season. You know, I can't wait, man. Everything is new, you know. You got a new coach, new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator, you know, new offense, new defense. You know, we got new players, you know. We got new uniforms. We got new attitude. I got a new attitude. You know what I mean? I'm ready, man. I can't wait for this Sunday, man. You know, so I'm definitely ready for this season, man. And we talk about why fans view things like through the ownership. I think, well, first of all, start with our owner. He's so bad, you know. We all want to correct his mistakes anyways, but just for your average fan, I think, because we all play GM at home anyways. So when a player goes awry and want to do his own thing or want more money, you know, we look at it as, you know, he's rippling the waters, and And in our mind, the only way to solve that is for him to conform with ownership or and front office wants him to do. So I think it's more of a, you know, we all play personal GM at home anyway. So if that what it is. But and I want to end on the Dan Snyder thing, man. I know he's a mess, you know, and I know this sexual harassment in the workplace is bad. It is and all that. But I'm starting to feel sorry for this guy, man, because this is not a clear case of, okay, he's being punished because of the way he allowed, you know, sexual harassment in the front, you know, in the offices and the things with the cheerleaders. I think he's being punished for being a bad owner all the way around, with the play on the field, firing coaches, players. And I think he's being, you know, this is clearly, in my mind, and I'm sure other people think like I think, this is clearly his minority owner is trying to force him to sell the team, you know, because I watched this thing on Showtime a couple of weeks back, and it's called The Sexual Revolution, the story of the Dallas Cowboy Cheerleaders. And this lady who founded the Cheerleaders, and it was their director for years and decades, she came on Showtime on the documentary and blatantly said that she quit her job, her position with the organization, because she could no longer protect her girls from Jerry and the things he implied that they should be doing. And nobody said anything. You haven't heard anything about that. And you know, I hate the Cowboys, but I'm just saying, I've seen this. And I thought was, you know what? You're not hearing nothing about this because nobody wants Jerry Jones to sell his team. But everybody who's a Redskins fan, for the most part, in that D.C., DMV, Virginia, 757 area, who's a fan, you know, would like to see new ownership. So I think that's where a lot of this heat and this pressure is coming from, is just that we view him as a bad owner all the way around. So anything that happens, you know, we're going to heighten it up to the 100th, you know, degree on him. So I'm starting to feel kind of bad for him, though, because, you know, he's not being held to the same standard as all the other owners, because, like I said, I don't think they're going to out him on this just off the strength that he's going to open Pandora's box for the other owners. And I don't think the other owners is going to allow that to happen. Do I see him get suspended? I see him get suspended. But I don't see him having to sell his team. It's my opinion.
All right, Paulie. Well, look, I can agree with you on your last point that I don't think because of the other owners setting the precedent for a fellow owner to be removed due to behavior and them not wanting that the circle of that ire to that spotlight to ever land on them. I agree with you that I don't see them cooperating with removing an owner, even though they might want him to be removed. I can't say that I feel sorry for Dan Snyder because he's not being held down to the standard of some other owners, because he is being held up to the standards that we have for executives in 2020. So he's okay. Not being held to a standard that's not being applied and held to businessmen outside of football. Now, I don't know that particular case that you're talking about. I'm speaking blind on that. So I really can't speak to that. But what I can tell you is that this is not the kind of behavior which would be accepted in an executive office in America.
Robert Kraft, that's another example.
Well, that's the example.
It's all wrong.
Wait a minute. Hold on. That is an example that I cite when I talk about why I don't feel like he'll be removed because of the actions of some of the other owners. So yes, that is a case where because of those kinds of issues, and I certainly don't think Robert Kraft is the only one that has things that that he doesn't want to come to light. Those are reasons why I don't feel like Dan Snyder will ultimately be removed. But when you talk about a culture of harassment, and you talk about you're talking about like decades of women having to go into offices and deal with this kind of environment. I don't know how many cheerleaders have been through there and have dealt. I mean, you're talking about 50 women that have spoken up now.
Hey, can I, let me say this. By no means am I defending any of this. You know, it's all wrong. It's absolutely wrong. I'm not defending it. I'm just saying I'm having a hard time just want to, you know, jump on board and jumping on Dan, because to me, I think the whole source of this is the minority or you know, owners trying to get him out of there. There's no coincidence that a couple of the cheerleaders, their lawyer is the same lawyer that Dan Snyder has a defamation case against. I mean, I think it's like dirty pool, you know, and I think these guys want him to sell. You know, I think they have an owner in mind that everybody's talking about, that, you know, Bezos guy. And I think they're just trying to get him out of there to force him to sell for their own pockets. I mean, that, like I said, I'm not defending Dan at all. I'm not. Mm-hmm. Anything that's going on, I'm just saying it just all seems like it's dirty pool to me all the way around. That's the only point I'm making, man.
Well, you know what? It kind of reminds me of something my mama used to say. When I would say, hey, Paulie's doing it too. And she would say, I ain't Paulie's mama. You remember that?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Remember that?
Most definitely.
Only way to stay out of trouble is to keep your hands clean. So I can't speak to what else is going on. But if you were the head of this organization and had these things going on, this is what can happen to you and probably what should happen. Doesn't happen often enough. I agree with you there, but this is what can happen.
Or you can say,
so
I'm
not going to feel sorry for you.
When you treat people bad on the way up, be careful on your way back down.
Well, that too.
Hey man, you have a great afternoon, a holiday, man. Appreciate you taking my call, man. And hail to the Burgundy and Gold.
All right, thank you, Paulie. That's the first hail to the Burgundy and Gold I've ever heard. That was good. I enjoyed that. He brought some good and interesting points. Steve, my man Steve from Houston, I got you. Regular contributor on the weekends. I appreciate you calling in and finding me on this Monday. I'm going to get at you as soon as we come back. The rest of you guys, you can get at me, 800-636-1067. Reese Waters, 106.7 The Fan. We've been all over the map, which is a good thing. We've had a lot of topics on this here Labor Day. Of course, I always want to hear from you guys. As always, 800-636-1067. Right now, I'm going to go to my man Steve from Houston. Steve, what is going on, my friend?
What's up, Playboy? How you feel?
I'm good. I got to apologize to you for my singing, but, you know, when you play Teddy, you know, that's what happens.
Well, look, it's... funny you say that, right? So I'm sitting here, you know, waiting for the, you know, the Lord, the bell to come on, and then, you know, it's go time, right?
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, you know, my man Crease in here, I mean, Crease, Lord, I can't even talk today. My man Reese in here is talking, you know, with all the sexy voice, and Sean the Don that set him up with the Teddy P. And I'm like, come on, Reese, know your audience, man. You know who calling next. You know who you about to click into. And I said, you know what? That Twitter handle you pumping out, I don't know your listeners, but you better be careful.
Because
if you get that egg, you get that eggplant emoji, man, you ain't gonna be singing no more. So
that's funny.
You gotta be careful, man. Know your audience.
You're wrong on that. Yeah, that's true. That's true. It is a sports talk audience. Who knows, man?
Yeah, they're gonna be trying to talk something else and play another sport. But anyway, like my man Paulie say, you know, man, the Dan Snyder thing, I didn't even know there was a story that came out yesterday on ESPN. So I think you and I spoke on Saturday. Was it yesterday or Saturday? I think I forgot when it was. I think it was Saturday. But I know there was an ESPN story that came out on Thursday or Friday night. Do you know if that was the same re-air yesterday?
Ooh, I didn't see. So what were the details of the story that you saw yesterday?
No, I'm saying I didn't see the one yesterday that aired, but the one on last Thursday or Friday.
Oh, okay.
I'm wondering if that was the same story that aired yesterday.
Oh, okay. You know what? If it's the same, if you're talking about yesterday, yes, it probably is.
Okay. Got you.
I don't know that for a fact, but I'm just guessing that they probably didn't.
Just guessing. Yeah, because to drop two new ones back to back like that within 72 hours, you know, more than likely not. But thinking about what you were saying with Curb, Herb Street. And to be fair to him and those of his same ilk, and to see that empathy that they do have, when it first hits me as a black man, my default setting is like I don't buy into it. But that's where I need, I think that's where those like myself need to course correct and be fair. You know, because it's, I think it's unfair to say, you know, 100% of, you know, white people are enemies. And I believe that, you know, Curb Herb Street is, he appeared to be, you know, pretty sincere and full of integrity when he made those statements. And, you know, I can appreciate that of him making those statements on that platform. But, you know, we, it needs to be next level now. You know, it needs to be, you know, Curb Herb Street, his influence only reaches up to a certain point. But then hopefully his influence can inspire maybe the athletic director of all of these college programs. And then maybe all of the athletic directors can inspire the commissioners, you know, of their prospective conferences. And then those commissioners can influence the NCAA, and then maybe owners who they, you know, bump gums with at, you know, at these prestigious events and who have influence in terms of, you know, the end game, which is legislation. So hopefully, you know, it is the domino effect that ends up into just total equality across the board. So I wanted to say that and get that out the way about, you know, Herb Street. And so I really appreciate those comments. I got to go back and find the video because you referenced a little while ago. You said there was another lady on the panel and you said she was tearing up as Herb Street was talking.
Yeah. Maria Taylor, who's African-American, and she's been very outspoken, but she was on. Yeah, they had like, kind of like a six box or, you know, they had a bunch of people on the screen. So they were not in the same place at the same time. And I'm, you know, I'm using my television experience to say that she probably couldn't see him. She probably could only hear him, but just listening to him emote in the way that he was, she began to cry. And so that's the level of, you know, that's the level of empathy that he's talking about us showing each other. He was getting from her.
Gotcha.
At that moment.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. And like I said, you know, in my explanation there, you know, that empathy needs to lead to, you know, some serious action items. But to circle back to Dan, I was thinking about what you and Paulie were just discussing. You know, Dan is, some of this is warranted. The percentage of what's warranted, that's to be determined. We don't know. But like you said, being accountable, the overall 100% accountability, you know, a lot lies, you know, with Daniel Snyder. And I tell you what, if he if he survives this and maintains ownership, he knows what to do. There are no room for mistakes, and he has dodged a serious bullet. But he's not totally escapable of any blame. And it's just, you know, I don't know. I just hope the guy gets it right because he's had so many opportunities, man, to do this thing right. And it is something that I've been, you know, preached about the last 2 months when we were talking about the name change and things like this. Let me throw this at you, Reese. Just imagine if Dan Snyder was a bit of a even-keel, cool-type owner, right? He could have probably brokered the deal, negotiated the deal with the NFL, at the even at the height of the George Floyd incident and everything, and said, you know what, man? We definitely believe in change, you know, equality, systematic racism, yada, yada, yada. But this will be our last year known as the Washington Redskins. And I bet if he wouldn't have made statements in the past, such as, you know, you can put it in all caps, we'll never change the name, being somewhat likable and level-headed and, you know, some examples of a decent human, he probably wouldn't have had to rush and everything. But, you know, that's in the rearview mirror now, you know, with the Washington football team, you know, in the interim for this year at least. And so hopefully if he survives this and he maintains ownership, that he has definitely learned the lesson and he is just, you know, leading us to success, hopefully, you know. So well, look, those Steve, are my 2 cents on this Labor Day.
I appreciate you weighing in, man. And you know what? I will say he had a win. He had a layup because he easily could have stepped in the midst of this push for added sensitivity and into racial injustice and things like that. He could have leaned into that and made the announcement about the name, and that could have been a win for him. But instead, it comes out that minority owners are pulling out in order to pressure him to get rid of the name, and he's still resisting. And they really had a situation that was ready made for him, and they managed to muck it up anyway. As far as what you're saying about Kirk Herbstreit, I think the way that he's looking at that in terms of who has access to who is exactly right, because there's people who will listen to Kirk Herbstreit that will never listen to Maria Taylor, or will never listen to me, or will never listen to Marcus Spears, or will never listen to Desmond Howard. And there's people that will hear Kirk Herbstreit whose minds might be changed, who people listen to who would never listen to Kirk Herbstreit. So what I'm talking about is, in order for that empathy to take hold, unfortunately, because of we all live in these respective echo chambers, unfortunately, the message has to come through an acceptable source. You know, the message has to come in through somebody who you will actually listen to. And Kirk Herbstreit is somebody who cuts across in ways that a lot of the people that have been before him, who have looked different than him, have echoed that sentiment. He cuts across in a way that they don't. Major League Baseball players and their constituencies cut across in ways that the NBA doesn't. The NHL and the MLS cuts across in places that the WNBA doesn't. The NFL cuts across the most possible wide swath, which is why certainly my eyes will be open and my ears will be open to see what happens when that season comes about. But that's what I talk about why it's significant for people who don't look like me to let their voice be heard on this issue, and not just hold those who are directly affected responsible, because that's how we're supposed to behave as human beings, is not to only react to things that are affecting us directly. All right. I appreciate you for calling in, Steve. As always, I'm sure I'll hear from you on Sunday. We'll be back. Reese Waters, 106.7 The Fan.
Spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.